got better and better. Hallelujah. That problem with her throat just went away. There must have been some healing going on there. Hope everybody caught it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Turn with me to 1 John. I want to remind everybody that while Pastor Gary and Judy are out of town right now and on vacation, a little short vacation, we'll might lift them up in prayer concerning travels. Give them traveling mercies. Hallelujah. Hedge about them, protection while they travel. Just keep that in your prayers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to cover several things tonight, but they're all tied in. I won't keep you real long tonight, but they're all tied in. And once again, let me just remind you that you may say, well, he's picking at me or picking on me, and that's not necessarily so. I mean, if the shoe fits, go ahead and wear it. But that's not necessarily so, because this message will be going out to a lot of other people. And so when I start out like that, that means I'm going after some things. But I can't say necessarily that when I minister here that it's just for this group. There's just not any one time that I can say that. It covers other people, and so. But if, like I said, if the shoe fits, wear it. I mean, if you can glean anything out of this, I want you to do it. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to not only for us to have a good time in the Lord, but hopefully to learn some things in the Word of God. That's my desire, is to bring forth some things that maybe you haven't looked at them quite that way in the past, you know. And so in 1 John, you know, back in Big John, chapter 14 and 16, he talked about the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit was your teacher, your comforter, that he guided you into all truth. You know, we're not going to go there, but that's what he covered in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. And but in 1 John, in chapter 2, I want to cover a couple of things with you here that, like I said, that probably ain't going to be the way that you've heard them in the past. And in starting in verse 20 of 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Well, it says that, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." The Holy One meaning Jesus or God, whatever you want to say, but I say Jesus. "And you know all things." Now, let me go on, and then we'll come back to it. And then in verse 27 of the same chapter, "But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is truth and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him when He appears, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." In other words, have fellowship build a relationship with Him, that He's living in you and with you at all times. We know that He is, you know, and He's talking here about relationship, about building that relationship. But I want to talk about this anointing. You know, I was taught, maybe some of you all the same way, you know, boy, that person is really anointed. I mean, you know, the anointing was here. And there was lots of it. And that anointing just poured out. I'm just quoting quotes that I've heard in the past and that I was taught. And the Lord began to minister to me about something. And I have to admit, you know, sometimes you're listening to somebody else, and it may be that you don't agree necessarily with them, or you do agree, you know, and it's a pretty good message. But what really, there's always something said that gets you a little bit, gets you to thinking a little bit, gets you seeking the Lord a little bit. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because not every person has all the answers. But if he can send through someone else a message that will get you to thinking about something, you need to follow that vein. Not back off of it, but follow it. Well, you know, all these times they would say, boy, he's really anointed, or that anointing was here. And, you know, and it was almost like, you know, and I tested this on Shelley today, because I wondered just how she had ever received it. And she, I'm not going to go into what she had received, but it was totally different than what I was even taught in the days gone by. You know, and I was taught basically that the Holy Spirit provided this anointing and this power. Well, that's a little bit true, but it ain't the whole truth. And not from what the Lord showed me anyhow about this, but He said, you have an anointing. He says in verse 20, He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, we've covered that the reason we know all things is because the Holy Spirit reveals it to us and guides us into all truth. But He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, an anointing from Jesus, and you know all things. You're guided into all truth. And then down in verse 27, He says, you have an anointing which you have received from Him, capital H, Him, abides in you, and you do not need anyone teach you. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit is our main teacher. He teaches us through human bodies, through human voices, human people. But He's the one that teaches us. You do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. There's that word anointing again. But yet it's talking about you being guided into all truth and being taught all things. Well, here's the deal. That anointing that He's talking about there, it is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. You know, and they would say, boy, that anointing was on the service tonight. Well, all that meant was that the Holy Spirit was there in full force or full power. You know, well, you really have an anointing on you. No, I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and a relationship that is ever increasing, growing day by day. Praise God, I hope. That's what I intend. And that's what he's talking. That's what they think that they're saying, that this anointing is a separate thing. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, and I don't know what Pastor Gary believes. He'll get a copy of this so he can decide for himself. But I don't know what he believes. I don't confer with him what I'm going to teach. I really don't. Even if somebody hints around to me for me to tell them what I'm going to teach on a certain night, I just ignore it and go on. Because for one thing, I may not know myself. But if I do, come and find out. You know, but this anointing that we're talking about is actually the Holy Spirit. You know, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and power. You know, he was anointed, but he had the Holy Spirit and fullness of power from the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I'm saying this just to open up some. This is just a lead-in to something else, but I just wanted to bring this out that, you know, that it's really, you know, it's not a separate thing. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. He is the anointing. You can't have an. Well, I know this person, they're anointed to cast out devils. Well, actually, that's wrong. Because it's the Holy Spirit that casts out the devils. The more power, the more fullness of the Holy Spirit that you have on your life and that is exemplified in your life, the more devils that are going to come out of people and get more people free. So anytime they use this word anointing, they don't have a lot of basis for it because it's actually the Holy Spirit. Well, I know in the Old Testament, you know, it was that anointing that floated that axe head. Well, it was the Holy Spirit working a miracle that floated that axe head. And things like that. So it's not just that it is an anointing, but it's the Holy Spirit actually. All in all, it's the Holy Spirit. And He's doing these things, guiding us into all truth and keeping us from any lies or any deception. It's not the anointing, it's the Holy Spirit. And this word anointing, you know, you could replace it with, but you have the Holy Spirit from the Holy One and you know all things. But the Holy Spirit, which you have received from Him, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same Holy Spirit teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, and you will abide in Him. See, I can remember when I was really confused. Brother, you have a good anointing on you. Well, you know, what I know now was basically they didn't even know what they were saying. But, the Holy Spirit was showing Himself on me. Showing Himself through me. You know, so I didn't know. They had me really confused. And I stayed confused for a very, very long time over that issue. And I knew these verses were here. But you know, until you start getting the Holy Spirit to start teaching you about something, you're not going to have the fullness of the truth. You're going to be there with a partial truth, and sometimes a partial deception, and not know the truth about the matter. So it's the Holy Spirit, and it's more a reason ever before for us to pray in other tongues and have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that relationship increase day by day. But if we don't do what's necessary to increase that relationship with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to increase the anointing. I'll go ahead and use that word, although it's getting harder and harder for me to use that word after seeing what I'm seeing here in the Word of God. you know. And so you gotta increase that relationship. It's all about relationship. You know, there's two words that begin with R-E. Relationship and religion. And we gotta go for relationship. We gotta go for relationship. That's the thing that we need to be after, is spending all of our time, what time we have and what time we're on the job or off the job, whatever, all the time we have. In fact, it says, the Bible says to redeem the time. Redeem the time. We gotta take the time, and redeeming it means to change it into something concerning relationship. You know, you take the time that you have and you spend that time on getting closer to God and developing that relationship. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just love it. Relationship. Hallelujah. And the more that relationship grows and gets stronger, the more we're going to be able to do, the more we're going to know from God, the more truth we're going to know, and the more that we're going to be able to accomplish in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So you can say, well, that person's anointed, when actually, you're not really wrong, but you are wrong. Because that person has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that relationship is growing more and more. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It doesn't matter what office you walk in. It doesn't matter what office you walk in. You can be an evangelist, and you can say, well, he's an anointed evangelist. No, he should be an evangelist that walks in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that whatever is needed to equip that office, if it's an evangelist, then working of miracles and gifts of healings need to, at least those two things need to be empowered in that office. And the more you have a relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, the more those things are going to become evident in that office. If you're, it doesn't matter what office you can think of. You know, a teacher. They say, well, I'm a teacher. I don't have to do these things. Well, there's nothing worse than a dry teacher. There's nothing worse than a powerless evangelist. You know, and there's nothing worse than a profitless prophet. So, it doesn't matter what office. You know, we couldn't come in here and have a good worship service and have the Spirit of God evident in this place without Linda up here as a worship leader leading us into the presence of God and setting that atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move and to do these things, unless she spent time not become anointed, but unless she spent time with the Holy Spirit in fellowship with Him. And it is a person, it's not a it. It's a person. And that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more she spends in time with the Holy Spirit, the more she's going to be able to do what she's called to do at that piano. See? And, you know, it doesn't matter what office it is. I've seen all kinds of things and heard all kinds of things, and just like somebody prophesying. I can tell right away where, you know, I know you've seen it in the past. You've seen people that started out in a service prophesying. The anointing was real strong, let's say. The presence of the Holy Spirit was real strong. And then all of a sudden, it really wasn't there too much. But they were still going. Because they got off following the Holy Spirit and got away from that and went their own direction that was in their soul. It became not a spirit of prophecy, but a prophecy of the soul. Started out right, just didn't continue that way. It's happened over and over, but the more you spend, the more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more time you spend praying in other tongues, the more you're going to be right on track and following Him as you go. Whether you're prophesying, whether you're leading worship in a place, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether you're preaching as an evangelist, it doesn't matter. Whether you're teaching, the more you spend time praying in other tongues and showing yourself proven by studying the Word of God, the more you're going to be a teacher that walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm the pastor. I don't have that. No, the pastor needs more of all of it. We're not going to let, you know, the pastor may not be here tonight, but he knows how I feel about this. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you're excused from things. You still have to go after the Holy Spirit and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, even if you're a pastor. You mean the pastor still has to pray for the sick and has working of miracles? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the pastor is a pastor of a body, part of the body of Christ. See, and I've heard several pastors make that. Well, I don't have to have that presence of the Holy Spirit on me like that, like you do, because I'm a pastor. It doesn't call for that. Well, yes, it does. Actually, it calls for every believer to have that. Doesn't matter what office you walk in, every believer should be walking in those gifts and callings. Now, he'll have each believer, you know, called out and separated into a calling. I understand that. But every believer is to lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, speak with other tongues. Every believer. It says to those who believe. Believe what? Believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So it doesn't matter, you know, what calling you have. You're to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the more you're called into that office, the more it's going to be required for you to show that you're called into that office. Well, that's going to come from that fellowship and relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's where it's going to come from. You say, well, I'd rather call it anointing. Well, that's okay. Call it what you will. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of truth here. But you're still called to walk into that and develop that relationship and get to know Him and Him, He already knows you, but, you know, if you want to put it that way, get to know Him, Him get to know you. You know, He already knows you. You need to get to know Him more and more and more. If you don't have it, you need to get it. You need to get it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. No matter what office you walk in, all are called. All are called to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the more time that we spend praying in other tongues, the more time we spend confessing the Word of God, the more we're going to be able to accomplish things. The more we're going to get into that place that we can accomplish things. And I want to mention one thing here. For one thing, I need to repent about something. So right now is a good night. And those that wanted to hear me repent, they're not here tonight, you know. So I guess, you know, I'll just repent before you and just leave it at that. But a couple of weeks ago, I took off a Sunday evening. And here's what the deal was. Not that it matters. I still repent. Through a combination of things, doesn't happen very often, but occasionally I'll get down to where my blood sugar, if I wake up of a morning or sometime in the night and my blood sugar is, let's say that particular morning it was 50. If I wake up like that, it takes me, and I know every person is different, but it takes me 12 to 24 hours to get over it. So I woke up that morning, it was 50, and I thought, well, we got a challenging day ahead of us. But I went on ahead and came to church. But as the day went on, I got worse and worse. And so I made the decision, because of having to spend at the hospital with my mother the next two full days, and I knew this was going to happen, I decided to stay home from church that evening. Plus, I let somebody talk me into it a little bit. Not going to mention any names, but, you know, they meant well, you know, and I accept that part. But I repent for it, because I should have got up and pushed on through it. It wouldn't have been nice. I wouldn't have been happy, but I should have went on ahead and pushed through it. We need to try to work on, and I know I'm speaking to the choir here. We need to work on keeping our commitment at church. You know, Shelley and I take this commitment serious. And if we have to leave for some reason to take care of a grandchild or whatever, we don't like it. We do everything we can to avoid it. And if we have to do it, we have to do it. But we need to work on that, making sure that we keep our attendance where it's supposed to be, keep our commitment where it's supposed to be. And like I said, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so just take it going. You know, but sometimes, what I'm getting at though, is sometimes you just have to get up and use that Word of God and use the power of the Holy Spirit and push through it the best you can. And that's what, like I said, I repent. Forgive me. I should have just got up and pushed on through and kept going. I get there's several things that goes on. I won't go through that, but when it happens, which ain't very often, praise God forever. I it's a challenge for me. But anyhow, we need to just push on through. We need to take the Word of God. That's what confession is all about. Is pushing on through, bringing ourselves into that place that we believe what God says to be the truth. If we believe what He says to be the truth, and He says, by His stripes I was healed, then praise God, I was healed. Doesn't matter whether my blood sugar was 50 or not. I was still healed. He still healed me. You know, so anyhow, He's been dealing with me. Now listen, you were here tonight, so you got it. If there was anybody else in the congregation that wanted to hear me repent, they missed out. That's all I got to say. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But that's what confession is all about, is pushing through those things that are trying to stop us and override us. Everything in the Word of God is for that, but confession especially, because we're taking the Word of God and we're using it and turning it on ourselves. You know, and when you pray in other tongues, you're taking the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, turning it on yourself to overcome things, to get yourself in a place that you can overcome next time. And if you run into a place like that, like I'm talking about me, I like to use me as an example, and believe me, I get plenty of chances to do that. But if you do, you just repent, you get up, and you go again the next time. Because the devil ain't going to stop you. You're an overcomer. That's the way it is. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But I thank God for confession. Because confession is what's put me into that place that I am able to overcome some of those things. And if I didn't have it, and if I didn't have the edification of praying in other tongues, I wouldn't be able to overcome these things also. It takes all of it. Each part has its part, plays its part. You know, it's like fasting. You know, it's not talked about here too much in this church or any church as far as that goes. But, you know, I know of one or two, but But fasting, it plays its part. See, it's not the whole ball of wax. I know that. You know, praying in other tongues is not the whole ball of wax, except that praying in other tongues is a revelation gift, and it will reveal to you things about confession. If you pray in other tongues, it will reveal to you things about fasting and about meditating the Word of God, because it's the revelation gift. So it's good to start with praying in other tongues, and it will reveal to you things about what we've talked about tonight, about this anointing in 1 John. It will reveal those things to you, revelation in the Word of God. That's what praying in other tongues is about. But all these other things, meditating the Word of God, if you don't meditate the Word of God, you're not going to get as much out of it. If you meditate the Word of God, you're going to get a lot more truth out of the Word of God to take you farther into Him. If you fast, you've got something there that puts the flesh down in its place and lets your spirit man rise up above where it's supposed to be. More to where it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. And then worship. I can't say enough about worship. Worshiping God takes your soul, puts it in the right place, which is looking toward God. So, we're going to worship God for a little while. You're going to look to God a little while. I'm going to use you, soul. You're going to have to look to God here for a little while. And you take worship, whether it be with music or without, either one. You lift your hands, you worship God. And it takes you to that place to where you're training it in on God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So each part in the Word of God, each thing in the Word of God plays its part, does its part in bringing you into that place. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just love it. I just love it. I just love the Word of God, because the more I get into it, the more I pray in tongues, the more I find out things in the Word of God that I didn't know before. So you not only have an anointing from the Holy One, but you have the Holy Spirit from the Holy One, and you know all things because you do have the Holy Spirit. Not because of some special anointing. Well, he knows so much in the Word of God because he has a special anointing. No, he knows so much in the Word of God because he has the Holy Spirit, and he gets in the Word of God. If you don't get in the Word of God, you're not going to know anything in the Word of God either. So it takes both. But it's the Holy Spirit that's your teacher. Get it? Hallelujah. I just love it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Just lift those hands now and just begin to worship here for a little bit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, praise you, and thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. We worship you and praise you and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 His presence is here tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So you not only have an anointing on your office, on your call, but you have the Holy Spirit walking in that call, walking in that office with you. It doesn't have to be called an anointing. If you want to call it that, fine. But it's the Holy Spirit that's joining in with you to perform that office, to perform that call. Hallelujah. So that anointing is the Holy Spirit. That's who it is, the Holy Spirit. Thank God that He's a person and not a it. Hallelujah. took me a long time to understand things like that. When I was first born again, they started laying stuff on me like that. Well, I think I understand it. No, not really, I don't. But they didn't understand it either. That's why they couldn't explain it to me for me to understand it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. About that commitment deal, some people are afraid of commitment. And that's something they need to get over, because if they get over that lack of commitment, then they'll start getting into that place where they're supposed to be and staying there. And they'll bounce in and out. Be in the commitment, be out of the commitment. Be in the commitment, be out of the commitment. Back and forth. But until they settle down and start praying and doing these things necessary, they'll always do that. Always. But once they start making that commitment to pray, then the commitment for other things will fall into place. Like being there at church, you know. Sometimes, hey, I know. You know, and I know the pastor is going to get a copy of this. I know that sometimes we can't avoid it. I know that. But I think we can tell when it's a case of not avoiding it and a case of bouncing in and out of commitment. See? But like I said, I don't know why I'm preaching to you this. You're here. Hallelujah. Well, that might be a little too obvious. I don't know. Yeah, you know, back in my little bit younger days, I probably did that a time or two.